dedicated my life to become, or a social worker, which I did for many years. In my 30s, I discovered roses again. I discovered that I loved roses still, and I was living in a little house in Berkeley that had a rose garden, and rediscovered what roses were, and learned for the first time that there were things like old roses, like talisman roses that went back a ways. And I planted roses and planted more roses and built a little flower farm on Bernal Heights where I had a house. I rented spaces of blank spaces of land on Bernal Heights and planted old roses to grow and sell for the first time in flower markets here in California, the old 19th century flowers that are so fragrant.
And when did you move up to Sonoma County?
In 1983, I moved up here and brought a bunch of roses with me and determined that I was going to be a gardener for the rest of my life.
And you've purchased property in Sebastopol?
Eventually, yeah, purchased property a few years later in Sebastopol and planted 2.5 acres in roses and many, many other things.
And this was along Highway 116, wasn't it?
Right nearby, yeah, up on Bloomfield Road.
Near Bloomfield Road. And was that open to the public, or did you only do mail order when you first started?
We only did mail order. And in fact, we've never actually opened that as a nursery site. It's always been my home. So we opened the garden in the springtime every year in May. During the bloom season, every weekend, the garden would be open and people could come and wander through 2 acres of roses in bloom and discover things they'd never seen before.
And this was you and Philip that did this together?
Yeah, my partner, Philip Robinson.
And so from 1983 until when did you finally close the nursery?
2014, we finally closed it up.
There are over 30 years of growing roses. I looked in the PDF that is on the website, and it looks to me, if my math is correct, that you have personally grown over 5,000 different varieties of roses.
That's correct, yeah.
And how many do you have in the collection at this point?
Somewhere around 3,000 that we're preserving with a nonprofit that we've established called the Friends of Vintage Roses. We try to keep that core collection going.
It's just mind-blowing. And don't you have one of the largest or the largest hybrid tea collections in the country?
Well, I think that our collection of antique and historic roses is the largest in the United States. And it's actually now we're beginning to break it up because it's not safe to have everything in one place. Mm-hmm. So we're duplicating the collection in part and sending it south and sending it north and sending it east and sending it abroad.
Like seed repositories.
Exactly.
It's important to spread these around.
Right.
So who else will have these?
Well, many years ago, we started by sending a large collection of old American roses that were hybridized in the United States, to a garden in Japan called the Sakura Garden, which was the first historic rose garden built in Japan about 20 years ago.
Wow.
So we helped to seed the beginning of that garden. And we've seeded gardens in China and Europe and all over.
And you have this organization that helps to preserve Friends of Vintage Roses.
The Friends of Vintage Roses.
Roses, that is tasked with maintaining and collecting and cataloging and encouraging people to participate in this, hopefully, lifetime pursuit.
Right.
And we first got wind of this when I got a press release about Rosalia, which was a big event you did on May 18th.
Yes.
I remember because it poured cats and dogs. I mean, talk about the timing, this big open house, that it was good, this huge launch, and we were so excited about it. And then I think like a half inch of rain fell, wasn't it, on that?
Right, and we were trying to sell roses in the rain.
Yeah, well, again, the weather will be what it will be, right?
That's right.
So this took place over in Sebastopol with the preserve the historic collection, and where is it at now, and how can we get involved?
The Friends of Vintage Roses is comprised of about 200 volunteers who come periodically throughout the year, and twice a month on weekends we post on our website dates that we call dirt days, and they are the days when people can come and volunteer to help us with the maintenance of the plants in the collection. Currently we're working on taking lots of cuttings from rare roses in the collection to sell at our fundraising events like Rosalia. So we're building stock up for next year.
Are you going to do another open house since the first one got rained out?
Well, we'll see. We're actually, the garden was not open this year for Rosalia, but we have plans to open it in the future. And we have been rebuilding the original garden for the past 3 years.
Just remarkable. You brought some periodicals that you have either written or co-written. I see three of them. There's California Rose Heritage. Are these books available for purchase?
They are. Some of them are available through the Heritage Rose Foundation website. Mm-hmm. That's not our little group, but it's one that I was an officer of for many years. And it's a preservation group that's international. And I was one of the editors who helped to produce many, many books that were published by the Heritage Rose Foundation. And the HRF is very generous in giving books to nonprofit organizations like ours that are preserving heritage roses.
So I see there's a Heritage Gardens Roses and the California Rose Heritage, and here's a beautiful one, Old Rose Survivors, Wild and Untamed. Yeah. And you edited that book. Boy, this looks, I haven't seen this one.
Yeah. I think for everybody, could you tell us what a heritage rose is or a vintage rose?
It's a very fluid concept. and everyone defines it for themselves.
Mm-hmm. I think the best line I heard was Greg said, it's anything older than I am.
That's Michael. That's my line.
Okay, I thought it'd be good to let people know what, you know, when they want to go out and buy a heritage rose, what are they looking for? Yeah. So, okay.
A lot of heritage roses were introduced in the 1950s and 60s. Mm-hmm. They are essentially, they're roses that have completely gone out of commerce and been out of commerce for many years. But more importantly, they are representatives of what people built as roses in way back, and going back 2,000 or more years.
Okay. So there's not a real black and white definition.
The American Rose Society says it's any rose in a class that was started into commerce before 1867. And that's when they believe the first hybrid tea rose was introduced.
And you say introduced, did those come from England? Where did those come from?
Largely from France, actually, in the beginning, in the 19th century. The French were, and still are, the great rose breeders of the world.
Still?
Yeah. Unless you go back 1,000 years to the Chinese, who were the first rose hybridizers.
And you've done some travels in the past year, haven't you?
In the past few years, yeah.
Where is the most interesting places you've been?
Well, 2 years ago, I went to both Beijing and Tokyo and did talks there. I did an introductory talk to an international conference on heritage roses in Beijing. And we saw spectacular plantings of roses.
In China?
In China. Oh. And when I say spectacular, anything that you've seen that the Chinese do nowadays, they do it bigger and better than everybody else. So when I tell you that they were planting avenues of 50 feet deep of roses on each side of avenues in this new city that they built this rose museum in that we spoke at.
Unbelievable. And what about in Tokyo?
Tokyo, well, the Japanese are intensely passionate about heritage roses. They'd only discovered them maybe 25 years ago, and they're very much into them. And they're very meticulous about learning things and also about preservation. And that's one of the reasons why we've tried to send roses to the Japanese, because they will hang on to them. They will respect them and protect them.
Right. So those were the two highlights of your travels the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And what's the best way to get information about the organization? What's the website?
It is thefriendsofvintageroses.org.
Thefriendsofvintageroses.org. We can take calls now. Any general gardening questions for Gwen? She's got her thinking cap on. But if you have rose questions, you picked a great Saturday to listen to Garden Talk, because Greg Laurie is joining us in the KSRO greenhouse today, and was certainly one of the most knowledgeable rosarians here or anywhere in the country. 636-1350 or steve@ksro.com.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
DJ Sash and Glass is a full-service windows and glass family business that has served Sonoma County since 1960. DJ's makes it easy to replace your old, drafty, hard-to-open windows. Improve the look and value of your home with reliable, energy-efficient Milgard replacement windows. You don't have to worry about disposing of your old windows. DJ Sash and Glass makes it easy to get your home improvement project done. And shower doors and enclosures are just a phone call away at DJ Sash and Glass. DJ specializes in custom shower doors and custom mirrors for your new or replacement bathroom project. Call DJ Sash and Glass today for windows and your shower door replacement. Add a touch of class to your glass with DJ Sash and Glass. 2985 Wilgin Court. Call 546-7344 and online at djsglass.com.
Learn tips from the pros in wildlife photography July 21st at the Safari West Wildlife Seminar and Workshop with Sigma and Shutterbug Camera Shop. You'll spend 3 hours roaming the grounds, photographing the animals that call Safari West home. And lunch is included. It's the Safari West Wildlife Photography Seminar with Shutterbug Camera Shop, July 21st. Visit Shutterbug and book your spot today.
Old-fashioned service in the digital age. And now, the worst commercial ever.
As a real-life caterer, my recipe for success is a heaping helping of commercial auto and business insurance through Progressive. They helped whip up a customized insurance solution that keeps my business cooking.
That barrage of bad wordplay was most unpleasant. Whereas commercial auto and business insurance through Progressive is anything but. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com to quote today. Insurance provided and serviced by Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. It's affiliated and third-party insurer.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. A little preparation will make your family safer in an emergency. A week's worth of food and water, radio, flashlight, batteries, and a first aid kit is a good start. To be prepared and learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
Grayton Resort and Casino is now hiring.
It's fun, it's exciting, and it's like going to a concert. We always want to promote from within.
Apply today at GraytonResortCasino.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Moon. As we pay tribute to the moon landing today. 636-1350 if you want to reach us live in the KSRO greenhouse. General gardening questions as always. And Greg Laurie is with us in the KSRO greenhouse. We're talking roses with Greg. So if you have rose questions, for heaven's sakes, get them asked and answered today. Mary, welcome to the show. What can we do for you today? Hi.
Hi. My home burned down, and I definitely want to plant some roses. I was in Coffee Park, which was a very hot part of the fire a couple of years ago, and I don't want to plant a rose that wouldn't do well. I would add amendment to the soil, but I would like Greg's advice, if he has any, for what kind of rose to choose.
Well, that's a simple question. There's, what, about 200,000 different varieties of roses? Now, you get this question thousands of times. What questions will you ask, Mary?
Well, I would ask her, Mary, which of these things is most important to you? Constant bloom.
He's going to ask you some questions, so listen, please.
Okay.
Which of these things would be most important to you? To have continuous bloom, to have incredible fragrance, to have a particular range of colors, be they bright or pastel. Which of those things? Color, fragrance, rebloom?
I think the fragrance.
Fragrance, great. So I would turn you towards some of the old 19th century hybrid perpetual roses that have been proven to be spectacularly disease resistant in Sonoma County. And one of the greats is a rose that we don't know the original name of. It's one of our foundling roses or mystery roses. It came from a garden in Palo Alto. It was planted sometime in the 19th century or early 20th century. And now it goes under the moniker, the name Grandmother's Hat. It's a big, big pink full flower.
Grandmother's hat, a big pink rose, all right.
Fragrant, fragrant. It can get to be overhead height, but you can always also prune it and keep it shorter. But the real beauty of it is that it is one of the most fragrant roses that you could grow today. And you can find that in many nurseries. And in fact, Annie's Annuals down in Richmond now offers it.
Wow. Okay, fragrant hat. Well, thank you ever so much.
Yeah, grandmother's hat.
Grandmother's hat. So does that help, Mary?
Yeah, it does. Grandmother's hat. You're looking for it.
All righty. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
And that was great, Greg, that you also said it's disease resistant, because we've got so much press about these beautiful old fragrant roses. Oh, you're going to have to be spraying them all the time. But not necessarily so, huh?
Not necessarily so, good. No.
From Santa Rosa, Scott would like a word with us. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Good morning, Scott.
Morning. How are you guys doing?
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm the one that sent the picture into this tree.
Okay.
Yeah. And sorry, your screener said he would like a close-up. But
yeah.
It's, I don't know if you saw both pictures.
No, we only got one picture.
Oh, darn it, my wife. Maybe she didn't know there was two pictures. The other picture is a close-up of the leaves.
Oh.
And there's two things that might distinguish it. One, it has beautiful white flowers, but real dainty big ones, but it's short-lived, like a week or two. And also, they have big, long, like foot-long pods that hang down.
Okay.
Yeah, we got it.
All right. That's a catalpa. C-A-T-A-L-P-A. Catalpa.
Catalpa?
Catalpa.
C-A-T-A-L-P-A, catalpa.
I think that's the common and the botanical name, from what I remember.
Yeah, so. No, that's all right. Hopefully my wife's writing it. I'm outside. Hopefully she's writing it down. She's listening also. Catalpa, okay.
Don't do any pruning unless you have to, unless there's some issues with crisscrossing branches or growing in the wrong direction or whatever. But otherwise, leave the tree alone. It kind of looks like the top is leaning over a little bit, but are you in a windy spot?
It's out off a little side in Pioneer Rose, out in the vineyard country, sort of.
Okay.
It's in a neighbor's yard, and they don't do nothing.
Okay.
It's way out in, Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you when it does bloom, it's freaking gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
It really is.
I've got one in my yard, and I also have a yellow-leafed catalpa.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember where I got that one from, but that's really beautiful. Yeah, and if you're not keeping an eye on it, it's, yeah, blooming one day, and then a few days later or so, they start to fade out. But when you do see them blooming, like right here out in the middle of the field, yeah, that's really nice. So,
yeah, they're beautiful. So I'll tell the my neighbor lady, because she had no clue. She just moved there, and I said, I think I know who will know.
Good. Thank you. Yeah.
All just, right. You guys have a good day.
You too. Tell her not to do anything to that tree.
Don't touch it. Leave
don't
it
touch
alone.
It. Does okay.
Well. They do really well around here. A lot of people have catalpas planted. 636-1350, if you'd like a word on Garden Talk. Greg Laurie's sitting in with us, Rosarian, and he would be glad to help you this morning with any of your questions. Back after this.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted best farmers market in Sonoma County. You'll enjoy exploring all they have to offer. This summer's market is exploding with all its local bounty. Berries and fruit, summer squash, onions, and vine-ripe tomatoes. Get your vegetable starts and advice from master gardeners at the Saturday market. When it comes to choosing meat, discover the quality of local beef, pork, lamb, and freshly made sausages. Award-winning vendors and artisans offering everything from baked goods, olive oil, fermented foods, spices, and chocolate to hand-painted silk pieces. Enjoy a fruit smoothie, breakfast, or lunch from the variety of food vendors. Santa Rosa's Original Certified Farmers Market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. Open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
This is George Adair with Cross Country Mortgage. If you're in the market to buy a home, this message is for you. My team and I are experts at providing hands-on assistance to getting your home financing done fast and with confidence. In fact, we're closing purchase loans in as fast as 10 days on many of the programs we offer. The best part is our pre-approved buyers don't need a loan contingency in making their offer. That makes buyers look as good as cash. If you're applying for a home loan at your bank, ask them if they can close in 10 days with no loan contingency. I promise they can't. When you're buying a home, speed to close and a true loan approval are necessary to win the offer. How do we do it? Cross Country is a direct lender with amazing technology, experience, and a local presence. Our process is proven to help buyers win in this competitive housing market. If you're ready for a great lending experience, call 707-583-8100. That's 707-583-8100. Or visit georgiadair.com. That's georgiadair.com.
Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS ID 2039, and Georgia Dare, NMLS ID 245370. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval.
Get in shape by joining the Super Slow Movement at Inform Fitness Personal Training. Designed to work for busy people who desire optimal results, Inform Fitness Roanoke Park is a revolutionary personal training studio that caters to your valuable time and fitness goals. Increase your energy levels, muscle tone, and lean muscle mass with their innovative 20-minute once or twice per week workout.
I had injuries and they worked with me at my own pace to get results.
Summer special, buy 2 months, get the third free. No contracts, Inform Fitness Roanoke Park. Call 707-385-9860.
I see the moon horizon. I see trouble on the way. I see earthquakes and lightning. I see bad times today. Don't go around tonight.
It's a bad moon rising as we salute the moon landing today. Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher live on Garden Talk, celebrating 32 years in the KSRO greenhouse, and delighted to welcome Greg Laurie sitting in with us today, Rosarian, and has been growing roses since he's been 13 years old, which is more than, I'll just venture a half a century or so. First started growing roses when he was 3 years old with Grandma in Iowa. So a life spent in roses. We're going to give away an autographed copy of California's Rose Heritage, the Journal of the Heritage Rose Foundation from their 2005 conference. And this was Greg was a contributor to this, and you told me that this has some great stories in the book.
It does. It's about the stories of how roses came to California and how they were hybridized here and how an industry began.
So if you get in with a question, either via email or the phone today, during the next 40 minutes or so, we'll enter your name in the drawing for one of these copies of this wonderful, wonderful book, 636-1350. Nobody on hold at this moment, or you can shoot us an email anytime, steve@ksro.com. So we want to cover some of the ins and outs of rose growing. And we talked about some of these things off the air. Number one, do you fertilize? And if so, what with or any type of amendments do you do soil analysis?
Well, because I'm growing both a great large number of roses in containers as well as a large number in the ground, there are two different ways that I handle that, but I approach both organically and essentially worrying about the soil and not about the plants. Feeding the soil, not the plants. Feeding the organisms that populate the soil and actually feed the plants. And that means that the duty becomes keeping a healthy soil and using some of the organic things that are available, like copper sprays, are anathema to those soil organisms. So there, it's not a good thing from that perspective. In containers, plants are quite limited and the soil organisms have a limited amount of opportunity to work. So we do actually drench those every couple of weeks in our containers with a combination of organic liquid fertilizers like fish emulsion, kelp meal, that sort of thing. We also spray those. I work with several clients on their gardens, and we spray the roses in those gardens. We foliar feed them with those same things, fish emulsion and kelp and so forth. And what that does is it actually makes the cuticle of the leaf thicker and more resistant to funguses, mm-hmm. and it makes for a healthier foliage on the plants.
Just for the container grown roses?
For all roses.
Oh, you do.
But we do liquid fertigation of the pots with the container plants, and in the garden we when we're able to, we spray we do a full foliar feeding.
Interesting. You like that better than a slow release fertilizer?
The problem with slow release fertilizers is that they are all non-organic. They're inorganic compounds, they lodge in the soil and they break down the soil organism's ability to thrive. Okay. And it's when the soil organisms thrive, our plants thrive, whether they're roses or trees.
And do you have a custom-made fertilizer that you do, or do you buy something that you can buy?
I buy everything off the shelf as cheaply as I can. Okay. I just make sure that it's organically produced.
Okay. Any risk of burning those leaves when I hear things?
Yeah, a lot of people think they can double the amount that's suggested on the label.
Don't do that. All right. What about pesticides and fungicides? Was there a time that you did use those in your growing?
There was. In the early days of my nursery, I was, like so many people 40 years ago, I believed the idea that you had to keep roses free of disease, foliage diseases, because it marred them and made them unacceptable in the garden. When I finally stopped doing all spraying of the roses in my garden, as the passage of years went by up till today for the past 10 years, I've seen absolutely zero difference. The roses have just as little or as much disease as they did before.
Would you repeat that again?
Yes. If what I find is that have found is that spraying made absolutely no difference. It did not improve the look of the roses.
That the plant would either outgrow the disease or it would not?
Yes, and the diseases are weather, factors of weather. Those fungi and bacteria thrive under certain climactic conditions or weather conditions, and when those weather conditions change, they go away.
But are there plants, roses you found that are more susceptible?
Absolutely. And I always advise people to shovel prune. If you have a rose bush that year after year after year.
I didn't know what, I get it now.
That doesn't perform, that gets too much disease, replace it with one that maybe you think is more likely to be free of disease. Because there are, the vast majority of roses in our climate in California do really well. All you have to do is to go and live in South Carolina for a year and try to grow roses there. And you'll be happy to come back to the little bit of mildew and black spot that we have.
Are there roses that you are still on the search for that have eluded you over these 40 years?
Yeah. And one of them I think we've discovered, which was a rose that was found in a garden in Japan about 5 years ago. And I got to see it when I was in Tokyo. I got to see a plant of it in a collector's garden. It's a rose that is probably like the very famous name has gone out my mind, but it's an ancient 1,000-year-old cultivar from China that made its way to Japan, who knows when, and also made its way to Europe in the 18th century. And is credited for bringing yellow into roses that were grown in European gardens.
So are you going to be able to get one of those?
One can import roses from Japan, but I've stopped adding to my collection. To know that it exists is the joy for me.
That's a great answer. It almost sounds like a politician. We'll take a break and we'll be right back. We'll go back to calls and some emails right after this.
Petaluma hears FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 94.5.
Let's get in the spirit of Independence this July. Go Local invites you to discover and support Sonoma County's many fabulous locally owned independent businesses.
Ever since the Boston Tea Party, independent businesses have been essential to our liberty and democracy. Let's celebrate the freedoms and opportunities independents like Oliver's Market, Local Heroes Auto, Clover Sonoma, Bear Republic Brewing, and Corix provide locally. They create more local jobs, give more to nonprofits, they better know our local tastes and preferences, and they keep more money in the local community. More than a dozen studies show that locally owned independent retailers, on average, re-spend 3 times as much per dollar of revenue in our local economy than their non-local chain competitors. Another thing to consider in July is to move your money to a local bank or credit union, like Redwood Credit Union, Exchange Bank, or Community First Credit Union.
Supporting independent businesses means supporting our community. Visit Sonoma County Go Local's Facebook page for your chance to win free contests for gift cards to local businesses.
Are you so done with dieting each and every year? Join the over 500,000 people who have attended Mark Patrick Hypnosis programs with weight loss results. Mark Patrick Hypnosis will be in Santa Rosa Tuesday, August 13th.
After this hypnosis, I want to eat good food.
Since August, I can honestly say I have not had one potato chip.
It was life-changing for me.
And I don't think about desserts like I used to.
Bridget, how much have you lost now?
I have lost a total of 83 pounds.
Holy cow.
It's easy, it's fun, very relaxing, and very successful.
And I would just say go for it.
For only $49.99, lose all the weight you want, 100% guaranteed. Tuesday, August 13th at the Flamingo Resort Hotel and Conference Center. Seminar time is 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Registration begins at 5 p.m. Come find out how the power of hypnosis can help you achieve your weight loss goals. Seating is limited, so get there early. Learn more at markpatrickseminars.com.
Here's something fun you might want to do today. Schoen Farm is having a tasting and a lot of activities today from 11 till 3 out at Schoen Farm Winery. That's on Steve Olson Lane in Forestville. It's open to the public. Complimentary wine tasting and olive oil tasting. Food available for purchase. Farm stand. Kids games and activities. Hayride farm tours. Live jazz funk music by Sensiba. Fun for the whole family. Bring your friends and family. Everyone is welcome. And join the community and celebrate the award-winning Schoen Farm Wines. Fun thing to do today on Moon Landing Day. Today from 11 to 3, Schoen Farm Winery. It's out at Steve Olson Lane, Forestville, California. You can see it. It's right off River Road where the, you can Google it, MapQuest it. But it's a wonderful space. You've been out there, Gwen, right? A lot of fun for all.
Several times, yeah.
So 636-1350 if you want to reach us this morning. And we are giving away a copy of California's Rose Heritage, and we'll have Greg Laurie sign that for you. You don't have to have a rose question to qualify to win that copy of the book. At 11 o'clock, Peter Reinhardt, brother Peter Reinhardt, who knows as much, if not more, about bread and pizza than anyone in the country, will join Chef John Ash and me in the KSRO kitchen to celebrate the release of his book. Just came out last month. Perfect Pan Pizza. With a lot of alliteration there. Deborah would like to ask Greg a couple rose-related questions. Welcome to Garden Talk. Hi, Deborah.
Oh, hi. Hi, Greg. I heard you mention today to the one woman you said what are the top three priorities, which is the priority. And I will speak about my ignorance here. I didn't know there were roses that bloomed all year. So that was one of your choices. And I'm a Sonoma County native, but relocated to Sacramento, and all I have no dirt. All I have is a patio. So what do you recommend that blooms all year that would be suitable for a wine barrel?
That's a really good question. When I say blooms all year, I mean that we have the kind of climate where roses that do rebloom, bloom more than one time in the year like a lilac would. We have the ability in Sonoma County to see flowers from those plants in every month of the year. They may not bloom heavily during the months of December and January when we're having our worst rainy season, but you can certainly get 10 months of the year with continued bloom. In a small pot, my choice would be one of the old China roses. They're roses that originated in China, and that are the most frequent blooming and most constant blooming of all. In particular, grown in containers, which is how the Chinese grew them 1,000 years ago in the Sung Dynasty. And the China roses are compact. They will build to up to 3 to 4 feet if given some the time and space. And they will bloom 12 months of the year.
So would she look for specifically something called China roses?
Yeah, I would look for, you won't find these in every nursery, certainly, but you will find a rose called Old Blush or Old Blush China.
I have that.
And you'll find the old red red China rose known as Cramoisie Superior, the Crimson Superior rose. Those two little roses bloom constantly and very much available nowadays in places like Annie's Annuals is the rose called Mutabilis, which is five-petaled. They're like butterflies, and the flowers undergo a change from an orangey yellow through apricot, peach, pink, and crimson.
Could you spell that, please?
Yes, it's Mutabilis, Mutabilis or Mutabilis.
Mutabilis or Mutabilis rose, which goes through a different color scheme. And the other two you mentioned were the Chinese Superior, Crimson Superior, and the Old Blush Chinese. Both good in containers and will bloom 10 months a year. Yes, Gwen?
And Deborah, I have two out of the three of those. So I can vouch for Greg that they are amazing roses.
Hooray.
Okay, Deborah.
Thank you, Gwen. And Gwen told me a couple weeks ago I called about roses, and I decided to take her advice and wait until the bare root season to actually purchase these. So should that be the same process I should do then for those two? Those two colors would be beautiful for me also.
What do you suggest, Greg? Waiting till bare root season to purchase these?
No, I think you're more likely to find China roses available during the growing season and the blooming season.
Don't have to wait till December, January, February.
Yeah, they're not grown by the major growers who grow on rootstocks and bare root them. They're grown by specialty nurseries in containers and available in small pots.
So there you have your answer.
Okay, well, thank you both very much, and thank you, Glenn.
You're welcome,
Our
Deborah.
Our pleasure. Thanks
thank
for your
you.
Call, Deborah. Let's grab a call from, we've got all the lines filled. You have to stay an extra hour, Greg. Diane from Santa Rosa would like a word with you. Hi, Diane. Welcome to Garden Talk. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. I have one of these arched iron trellises in a walkway. It's probably 8 feet tall and maybe 3 feet wide. And I would like to, I already have tried a climbing rose on it, but I was not very successful with it. It is getting basically full sun all day, and I think I tried Don Quixote, but anyway, it's not successful. So if you could give me some suggestions. I like large roses versus those real tiny little ones, but maybe they don't work as a climbing rose.
What do you think, Greg?
Well, arches can be problematic because as strong as they look, roses rapidly overcome them. And so I like to choose lightweight roses that have lots of foliage and are very handsome even when they're not in full bloom. And I also find that small flowers make a more charming effect than a few very large flowers like Don Juan. So I would suggest something like, I'll tell you, one of my great loves is an old French rose called Crepuscule, which means dawn.
Spell it, please.
Crepuscule.
Okay.
It's thornless. The flowers are several inches across, maybe 4 inches across. A wonderful golden, soft golden yellow with an apricot tint. Fragrant. And blooms in such abundance through the whole summer that I don't think anything else comes close to it. And the thornlessness on a small arch like that is really helpful. You brush by the new growths on it, and you're not trapped by the thorns.
So there's your best selection for you.
But I'm sorry, still didn't get the name of that rose, the yellow rose.
Okay, we'll spell it one more time.
So it's crepuscule, or Crepuscule.
Okay.
Cule.
Yes, Crepuscule. Crepuscule. And it's a yellow rose, and that's your best bet for arches and climbing roses.
Okay. Yeah, great. Okay, thank you.
Our pleasure. We're not going to be able to get to all the calls. We'll squeeze in one more. As I said, you know, you live close enough. Could we have you back?
You can.
Okay, I think that would be wonderful. Dan has a question for you. Welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I have a question on the rootstocks on roses. They seem all to be pretty much the same. Is there a certain variety? I have some customers that, like, oh, forget it, just let it go because they grow well.
There's one, the most popular one frequently found in California is the dark red rose called Dr. Huey, and it is also nearly thornless, and so it has a lot of people love it. It was introduced as a thornless small rambling rose that bloomed once, and it's the most frequently used rootstock in California.
What about the one with the big thorns?
Well, there's a couple of pink-flowered ones, soft pink-flowered ones. Are you thinking of those?
No, they would have been red. So, but what do you know? What kind of variety that is? Not variety, but just type.
Well, most of them are once blooming ramblers or large shrubs. Yeah, and that's what will happen if they put their own shoots up from their roots. They make these big arching plants that bloom just once in the year.
Okay, you guys going to be at the fair at all?
We will be at roses. We will be at the Heirloom Expo with roses. Yes.
Oh, cool! All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Dan. We'll see you guys.
Appreciate the call. And what fair is he speaking about?
Our fair, the Sonoma County.
No, are you talking about the Heirloom Expo in September?
Yes, yeah. Expo in September.
So you will be there?
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. Let's grab one more quick question. I think we have, we've got time. Lorraine has a question about raspberries for us. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Hi, Lorraine.
Hi there. Hey, I would like to know about what to do. I got a black bug, probably the size of a small pinto bean, and there are lots of them. What do you suggest using?
It could be the harlequin bug. Well, what I do is I get my little portable electric, rechargeable battery vacuum cleaner and suck them all up. But if you don't have that, if you can get out there early in the morning, or even now if you have to because they're out there, get like a pan that has a handle and fill it up with some water and put some oil in it or Windex or ammonia or something, whatever you want to put in there, and go with a little brush, and you can knock them in this container, and then they can't get out, and that'd be the fastest and easiest way to get rid of them. You don't have to spray anything and cause damage to your raspberries. Right. So that's the best thing that I would do. And if you keep up with it and go out there a few times a day, even in the evening, and just keep going out there and getting gathering them up and then disposing them. Throw them to your chickens.
What was it you said you thought it might be? What kind of bug?
I think harlequin.
Harlequin.
Bugs, harlequin bugs, those guys go after raspberry quite a bit. Could be.
In any case,
that works the best.
And we got to take a break. Back after this.
Traffic on the fives. Weather six times an hour. Sonoma County's morning news with Pat Kerrigan on FM News Talk. KSRO.
There's a better way to garden and landscape in Sonoma County, and it starts at A Better Way Produce and Nursery on Stony Point Road, just north of Todd in Santa Rosa.
Hi, Daniel R. Gibbs, botanical artist. I'm the award-winning resident licensed landscape designer and contractor. Our team has won first place 14 years in a row at the Sonoma County Fair's Hall of Flowers, and our garden, Coastal Charisma, won Best of Show 2018.
New plants are coming in weekly. Shop the multiple greenhouses, shade houses, and outdoor displays with bulbs, ferns, succulents, hanging baskets, indoor and outdoor plants and trees, many grown on site, all bursting with new growth. Planning to landscape this season or need a design for a rebuild? Ask Daniel about his design services and packages.
A Better Way Produce and Nursery, 3615 Stony Point Road, just north of Todd. A Better Way Produce and Nursery, open 7 days a week, 9 to 4:30.
It's the 10th anniversary of the Party on the Plaza Music Series at the Rohnert Park Farmers Market. 5 to 8 each Friday, you'll enjoy a certified farmers market, food and craft booths, beer and wine, and live music all night long. This week, it's the Rock and Roll Rhythm Review.
It's all in City Center Plaza in Rohnert Park in partnership with the City of Rohnert Park and sponsored by Hooters in Rohnert Park, offering 32 beers on tap, 25 flat screens with all the sports packages, happy hour all day Wednesdays and Sundays from 5 till close. Home of the world-famous Hooters Girls. All you can eat wings every Tuesday all day long. That's Hooters Rohnert Park, locally owned and open 7 days a week.
So come out and join the Hooters Girls this Friday at the Party in the Plaza with a Rock and Roll Rhythm Review. Info on the Party in the Plaza Facebook page.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you're in your home or business and you smell gas, your first step is to get out. Travel a safe distance until you can't smell the gas and then call 911. First responders will make it safe. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
Okay, this is the time in the show when the guest is really put on the spot. Your favorite number today, Greg, between 1 and 7?
Would be 2.
Caller number 2, says Greg, and that would be Mary, who called about rose planting, about this was the one that her house burned, is that mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Mary, you've won an autographed copy of California's Rose Heritage, the Journal of the Heritage Rose Foundation, with lots of fantastic stories. And Greg, you'll autograph this for Mary.
I will.
And remember, she wasn't the second caller.
No, she wasn't.
You just put random numbers on everybody's names. And
I'm sorry we can't get to the other callers today because you were more popular than we anticipated, Greg.
I'm sorry about that.
But you'll come back, okay?
I will. Yeah.
And I want to remind folks that next week we have another Greg coming in as our special guest, but he spells his name the weird way with one G. No, I'm
sorry. Boring.
No, Greg Laurie is two G's, but Greg Duncan, the flower show designer for the past almost 30 years, will be in the KS Arto Greenhouse to talk about this year's flower show at the Sonoma County Fair, and we'll have a pair of tickets to give away to the preview, the flower show preview.
Good.
So next week, okay, Gwen?
Okay, Steve.
Okay, it's pizza with Peter Reinhardt and Chef John Ash following the news.
Dangerous heat,